The head of Germany's Steel Association said today that the threat of new U.S. trade tariffs has led to a flood of foreign steel into European markets. The Trump administration unveiled new steel and aluminum tariffs in March to combat what it called unfair trade practices from China, but then exempted many countries, including the entire European Union, until June 1st. Many economists have criticized the tariffs. Others say they're long overdue. Rob Scott is a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. He joins us now. Rob, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And you say tariffs on steel and aluminum can help fight predatory trade practices and won't have big costs for the U.S. What are you hoping these tariffs will do?
Well, we have a global problem with excess capacity in steel production. It's concentrated in China, which has really been the number one offender. But there are probably nearly a dozen other countries in steel and maybe half a dozen in aluminum that are also contributing to the problem. Countries such as Japan and Korea and Russia and Vietnam and a number of other producers in both industries.
And you think tariffs will solve the problem?
I think well-coordinated tariffs can go a long way towards solving the problem. I think what we need to do is essentially wall off the unfairly traded metal and keep it out of world markets, and tariffs are one effective way to do that.
When you say well-coordinated, does it have to be more than just the U.S. then implementing the tariffs, or can the U.S. do it if Japan and Europe don't?
The U.S. can do it alone, but it would work much better if we would encourage those other countries to intervene with us. And steps have been taken already. For example, the European Union has announced plans to file what's called a safeguard action on steel and aluminum from these countries. So that would restrict their imports of those products and have the same effect as a tariff or quota.
And you think that restricting imports would what? Save jobs, boost wages in the U.S.? What would it do?
It certainly saved jobs, and we've had several thousand come back already in the U.S. steel industry and in aluminum. But I think more importantly, it would send a strong message to China that the time has finally come for them to do something about this excess capacity. In 2000, we had roughly the same amounts of steel production capacity in the U.S. and China. We each could produce about 100 million tons a year. In the last 15 years, China has increased its capacity by over 15-fold, and they only need about half of that to meet their need and the exports that they are selling. So much of that is excess. They need to get rid of it. They've promised to do it repeatedly, and just as soon as they close one small steel plant in one corner of China, two more open up in another. So they need to get serious and get rid of the excess capacity.
How do you respond, though, to economists who say that by putting tariffs on steel and aluminum, you're going to raise costs for consumers, not just on goods that use these products, but on downstream industries that might use steel or aluminum somewhere in their supply chain?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this. First, the actual costs are going to be tiny. We had global tariffs on steel, which were actually somewhat higher, that were imposed in 2001 in our own safeguard case, which restricted imports from all countries with tariffs of 15% to 30%. And the U.S. International Trade Commission went back and looked at the cost of that to the nation, and they estimated that the overall cost in terms of lost GDP was about $30 million. It's hard to measure that in an economy as large as the U.S., where annual output is in the trillions of dollars. I think the second point to keep in mind is that China's ability to produce this metal at such low prices gives them a tremendous advantage in other downstream products. China consumes about 86% of what it produces, uses it to turn out everything from auto parts to washing machines to aircraft parts. All of these are key leading-edge industries for the United States. We've been losing market share in them. And if we don't do something to limit China's and these other countries' ability to subsidize these industries, then it's going to really hurt our prospects in those other industries in the future. It has been and it will continue to.
What about the possibility of a trade war, that if we put these tariffs on steel and aluminum, that China could respond with tariffs on U.S. imports of pork and wine? Doesn't a trade war threaten to negate any gains that tariffs might bring to the U.S.?
I think the notion of a trade war is simply uninformed scaremongering. I think we have to recognize that China exports about four times as much to the United States as we export to them. They're much, much more dependent on what they send here. Furthermore, much of what they buy from the United States are raw materials like scrap and waste cardboard, as well as raw plastic, which they use to make products then that they export back to the United States. So if China were to put tariffs on these commodities that they use to make other export goods, they're just going to be shooting themselves in the foot.
You don't think they're holding any cards here?
I really don't think they have much.
Who is your ally in this fight for tariffs? Because we've got people like Larry Kudlow, now a chief economist at the White House, Art Laffer and Stephen Moore, big Trump supporting economists who have all argued against tariffs in the past.
Well, you know, I've worked on these issues for probably 20 years. I have worked on anti-dumping cases in the steel industry. I should qualify what I say in that way. I've been an expert witness for domestic firms. And there certainly are many trade lawyers who worked on these issues, and one of them, and one of the best, is Robert Lighthizer, who's now U.S. Trade Representative, and he's, I think, leading the charge on this issue. He's supported by Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, who's a former SEAL executive. So both of them have extensive experience in this industry. I think the larger problem is I don't see evidence that the administration overall has a strategy for dealing with the larger trade deficit with China or with the world as a whole. And I think that's a much bigger problem.
What do you think of the fact that the Trump administration is offering all these exemptions to countries from these tariffs?
Well, the Trump administration has demonstrated a tendency to carry out what I call trade policy by press release. They announce a big tariff, and then at the end of the day, they don't really do very much. So they talk loud and they carry a fairly small stick. So I was not at all surprised at these exemptions.
You think there'll ever be tariffs, let's say, on the European Union?
I think there could be at some point. This has certainly been something that we've heard the president complain about repeatedly, especially the deficit with Germany. Again, this is another area where I think his thinking is far too narrow. He thinks of our trade problems as being with individual countries, and he suggests that if we could just do the right deal, we can fix these problems. Problems are larger than that. There are three or four countries, China and Japan and the Europeans, but first and foremost among them, that have large global trade surpluses. And it's not just affecting the United States. Countries such as the United Kingdom have big trade deficits, developing countries like Brazil and India. So I think that the U.S. could take the lead in addressing these problems in ways that would be good not just for us, but for many countries around the world.
While we have you, just on the issue of trade agreements, do you think, number one, that the U.S. will stay in NAFTA in some form? And two, do you think there's any chance the U.S. is going to get back into the idea of a TPP, a Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal?
I don't see how we can get out of the NAFTA agreement. I know the president likes to threaten that. But the NAFTA agreement has become too intertwined with the structure of the North American economy. Roughly half of our auto production now takes place in Mexico and Canada. And to break up those supply chains would be very, very disruptive. Many companies may just simply decide to produce elsewhere, and so it could lead to more job loss. In terms of the TPP, I just don't know. I mean, the president was elected on the basis of the promise he was going to get us out of the TPP agreement, and then he just recently announced that he had instructed his trade negotiators to go try and cut a new TPP deal that was going to be better. Again, the emphasis on the notion that somehow he can cut a trade deal that's going to be better for workers in this country. The problem with these deals is that they, by and large, reflect the interest of the large multinational businesses that dominate trade advisory committees. And so they don't address the needs for balanced trade. They don't address the concerns of working people or the environmentalist in this country. The process itself is fundamentally broken.
That's Rob Scott, who is a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute. Rob Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.